Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Well, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race, 'cause it's almost like being in love. Brian Beebe here. It's Wednesday at 5 o'clock, and I'm doing another podcast brought to you by Monks at the Wilderness and in five other locations in Wisconsin, and by Sorrento's Italian Restaurant at the Wilderness in Wisconsin Dells. And got a lot to talk about, first and foremost, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions today. We're going to talk about a lot of things, but first of all, here's the question: how many times does a fat guy like me have to drop stuff on his shirt, on his belly, from eating in the car before he stops doing that or gets a great big bib and wears it while he's driving? Can you see this? That is a pizza slice from Quick Trip. And my mom used to tell us that if you dropped something on yourself, or even blood, stains, or whatever, if you got cold water on it right away, and you could loosen it up and usually get rid of it. And I guess right away doesn't mean like an hour later, after you drive from the Dells to Madison. Anyway, talking about... Monks at the Wilderness. We got to talk about the Britons who are appearing there a week from Saturday, and we're going to talk about other things that have to do with music. And I got new jokes. Let me get run down my list of stuff I would like to talk about today, and then we can come back to them point by point, and you can have your questions and comments ready. Okay. Call in. You can call in with your questions and comments. You see the show number here, 210-1667. That's area code 608. We are live on Facebook and archived 24/7 on madisontalks.com. If you can't watch us live or if you can't see the video, whatever, you can go on madisontalks.com and... all my podcasts from the very first one a year and a half ago to present day are there. So you can even choose, pick and choose. Mike, our control guy, Mike Brockenfeld in the control room, writes a little blurb about what each show's about. So you can say, well, I don't want to hear about that.
Today we're talking about stain removal.
There's going to be a little stain removal. But not actually stain remover. Just cold water, yeah. And that doesn't work after an hour. So anyway, we're going to talk about these things. We're live on Facebook, and the question arises: what kind of people don't use Facebook? You think about that. Facebook actually owns Instagram too. So Facebook and Instagram together. And what time do you use or play your media? Are you a morning media person or evening media person? We might talk for a little bit about guns, just because everybody else says. And here's another thing. Texting has changed a lot of what we know about language. Texting and punctuation is a subject every teacher, every fall, has to get used to or caution her children about, because, you know, if you construct a text, there's never any capital letters, there's no punctuation, there's no gaps, there's no commas. Misspellings are usually not corrected unless you're kind of anal about it like me.
All acronyms, but now.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do the whole thing in acronyms most of the time. So this texting and the way it has changed the way we write, is it doom Or is it a new language coming, evolving, a new language of the future that's evolving? We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about Google Glass. Have you heard about Google Glass? It's these glasses that are computers, and you can actually control your drone.
Yeah.
Or you know, just by tilting your head or making a certain face.
For sure.
Google Glass and drones. And under that heading, we're going to talk maybe about driverless cars and how you feel about that. And Google has another company under them called Calico, who is in the business of trying to solve death. So let's talk about those things. I've got some new jokes. Oh, here, I wanted to say this, too. This is a new thing that under the heading of the text texting and punctuation. This is a new thing I've been hearing, and maybe you've been getting it, too. Even the guys who talk for a living, like they're on talk radio or Fox or MSNBC, people now, when they are asked a question, quite often say, yeah, no. Just before they answer the question, they say, yeah, no, or no, yeah. Am I the only one who has noticed
this?
No,
that's a real thing.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, no. Have you ever noticed this kind of thing, Mike?
Yes. Yeah, no.
Yeah, wait, no, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because I don't understand it. Is it because they're acknowledging that you've asked them a question and their answer is no, or is it?
No, I don't think so.
It's just nothing. It's just something they say.
Yeah, no.
While they're thinking about, yeah, while they're thinking about what to say next. I think, anyway, comments and questions about any of this crap on 608-210-1667. We're going to go back to the top. Maybe I'll tell you one of these. I got some new jokes I want to throw at you today, too. I was talking to Mike before the show, and I said, geez, you know, it's tough. I'm old, I'm fat, I'm broke. And he quickly qualified and it made me feel better, but he said, yeah, but at least nobody will try to steal your identity. Oh, I like that. Yeah, nobody will try to steal your identity. Then there's a little follow-up laugh. Yeah, or the same laugh again.
That's what we got. Yeah.
I got some naughty ones. I got some good ones. We're going to save most of our Irish ones for next week or the week after because St. Paddy's Day is coming. But let's go back to the top of the list here. What kind of people don't use Facebook? Don't use it at all? Is it just old people? I know old people don't get it, don't do most things on. They have been dragged forcibly towards texting, even most of the people at my age and older. But they want to stay in touch with their kids and grandkids, so they learn to text. And they quite often learn to Facebook or accept Facebook because they want to have their pictures, you know, all on Facebook and share it with maybe a whole bunch of people. Although you can group text now. Mm-hmm. You can send a text to several people all at once, and they can contain your pictures too. Then I think there's a subsection of people that are just too haughty. They're just too uppity to do Facebook. You know, they're just above all that. Am I right? Mm-hmm. I would never stoop. There may be academics of some kind. I would never stoop to being on Facebook. That's so low. It's so common man. It's so, plebeian. Anyway, how'd you like that word, plebeian? And there are those who maybe they've been hurt by Facebook somehow. Somebody on Facebook, huh? I don't think that at its essence, Facebook damages anything. It seems to be a totally democratic place to use resources or place your resources or get things from resources. The fact that they've been under the gun lately because of ads placed by bots and Russians and stuff like that, they're taking a little bit of the heat, and it's led people to start talking about internet freedom. You know, the controlling the internet somehow would be the end of the internet, I think. It'd be, have you heard all these ads on TV that are talking about you can get a scan of your presence on the dark web? You know, just scare us all you can, you know, and we'll do whatever you tell us if you scare us completely with the dark web. You know, we'll be manipulated in any way you want us to be if you scare us with things that are dark. Dark web. And the dark web is a real thing. And it's been around for a number of years. And from what I've learned of it, you can get on there if you know the right access code. You're given some numbers by somebody who's in there. I mean, it's not a commonly known thing. You don't think you can go on the regular web and find the key to getting into the dark web. But I'm not sure of that. Maybe you can. But you can hire a hitman or buy drugs or find ways to lots of criminal activity on the dark web. And I suppose
some really of these shouldn't it be called the blacker web? No. I mean, it's the black market. But yeah. I guess politically correct, you can't call it the blacker web.
No, in fact, I think about when you call it the dark web, aren't the black people are very sensitive about anything being dark or light. Sure. And dark things always being bad things, you know. It's like the old cowboys and Indian stories with the white guy with the white hat, like good guy, and the bad guy had the black hat. And
yep, yeah.
And a lot of that imagery carries over. But anyway, the dark web, I'm sure some of it, you know, is maybe even more dangerous and more God awful than I'm making it out to be, or that I know it than I know it to be. But if the insurance people succeed in scaring us to with our presence, which could be, you know, find out if your presence, if your information, your personal information is available on the dark web. You know, okay, I'll buy your insurance if that means you'll scan the dark web for me and see if my presence is there. You know, I don't like that way of doing business. But anyway, the dark web is a real thing. And maybe I have a lot of personal things about myself on there. I'm not going to go find out or pay anybody to scan it for me. And let me know how I'm doing on the dark web.
I know. I post everything to the dark web when we're done here.
You do?
It's up, yeah.
Yeah, well, do you change it? You should. You should change it, like, to where it's completely filthy words and, you know what I mean? So it's worthy of the dark web. Make it scarier. Whatever I'm telling you now, get some fear into that when you post it.
The Brian Beebe terror.
Yeah,
hour.
Yeah. Yeah, comedy, no. Terror, yes. What time do you, let me ask you, Mike Brockenfeld, he's not exactly every man. In fact, we were talking before the show about guns, and he used to have a contract to make guns and rocket launchers and stuff. He maybe didn't want me to tell you that, but he did. And he got out of it for ethical reasons, but he must have made a lot more money doing that than he did pushing the laugh button for Brian Beebe shows jokes. You know,
it's way more fun though.
Oh yeah, this is
yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I get that. That's very nice of you to say. But so he has an awful lot of knowledge about guns, and in just a few minutes, I want to tap him for some of that stuff, but. We are going to go to a break pretty soon. But have you ever seen, Mike, the movie Nicolas Cage in Lord of War?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he's a arms merchant.
Okay.
Just after the Cold starts, just after the Cold War, and part of the real striking nature of this film is he goes to these places where they have, you know, 10,000 planes sitting there rusting away, you know, that were made for the war.
Yeah, yeah.
And now have been scrapped, or there's, you know, 10,000 tanks in a field somewhere. And great big piles, you know, three, four stories tall of rifles that nobody uses, and nobody really knows who owns them or who's in charge of them. Mm-hmm. If they're Russian rifles, you can't go to the Russian government and find out, well, who's in charge of these? We would like to buy them. Wouldn't you like to have some money for them? Nobody even knows who's in charge of them. They're just there. And it's weird, totally... Yeah. It's a movie's totally about excess and just having too many of everything that are dangerously terrible like that. But anyway, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some more about media and Google Glass and driverless cars and whatever else you're thinking about. Call the show, 608-210-1667. Let's talk to you. Be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
That's a good one. Let's hear a little bit of that, man. Song I created on my keyboard back in the 90s, just in a half an hour. All these different sounds that I never use on my keyboard, I threw them onto this song.
Brand new keyboard, huh?
Yeah, it was a brand new keyboard back then, anyway. See, all those sounds are in the same computer. The organ, now you get a little helicopter, a little beachy sound. And I played my own drum machine. That's not it. Sounds like it could be a movie soundtrack in different places. That's called Far Away. And you can have that. Just go to the dark web address for Brian Beebe and his crappy music, and you'll see the order form there. You can.
Mm-hmm. I like that little synthy sweep. That
That's just I didn't create any of those voices. You know, I don't even know how to create a voice on a computer. Those are just in there. Like, you scan through the voices in your computer, and it'll have that voice. You know, really weird. I heard today, and I'm not gonna. If you want to talk about some music things. I'm happy to do that too, or request a song. I didn't bring my keyboard down. It's in my car. But Mike can attest that sucker weighs 80 pounds, and it's really hard to get through the front door, into the elevator or down the stairs, and back up with that sucker.
That's a bummer.
So I mean, maybe I can just play a, I know you want to leave me. I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg and plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause it means that much to me. Ain't too proud to beg. Sweet dog, you know, I'll just play table drums here. And I could do the snare on my, you know, I'll hit the...
Yeah, like a little ride bell on the mic stand or
yeah.
something?
Yeah.
Oh, not quite, huh?
No. Nope. Good kick drum sound, though. And then if I could just get something to slap my... That's the snare.
That's more snare-y. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So you've heard my outline for today. You got already some helpful hints about getting a pizza stain out of a light-colored shirt. And we want to talk about the Britons. I just posted today four monks. Next Saturday, a great Beatles tribute band called the Britons is going to play at the theater in Monks at the Wilderness, where we've had a lot of successful concerts in the last few years. And you can say what you will about tribute bands or bands like the Britons who are dedicated to music that's been maybe hackneyed and played a lot over the years. But these guys are a cut above. I don't know if you've ever seen a British invasion or a Beatles tribute band like these guys before, because they not only do the costume changes, you know, lots of bands call themselves a tribute band. Basically, they stand up on stage and they do the songs of that particular artist, you know, as good as well as they can. Maybe they have some flashing lights or a follow spot or something. But these guys do the costume changes. Last year, their show had 34 songs in it, Mike. 2 hours. I think they do it an hour, and then they do a 20-minute break, and they come back in different costumes for the second half of the Beatles' career, you know. And, of course, Beatles songs are the first part of their career. The songs were, you know, a minute 40 seconds, you know.
Yeah.
They you can do a lot of songs if the songs are 2 minutes long. But they do it better than other people do. And there's no backing tracks. Nobody's not singing, you know, in the harmony parts when the Britons do it. They play their instruments and they sing their parts. And, of course, they've had a lot of experience. These guys are older than the Beatles were when they were popular. The Beatles were 19. These guys are quite a bit older, you know. But technology has caught up with them. And now they can sing. One guy can be singing, and it will sound like, you know, three layered unison parts. You know, no harmony. Nobody stands up to the mic and goes, ah, and it sounds like ah, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's no harmonizers where there could be on these Beatles songs, because they had so much harmony and tight harmony. But they have all the identical instruments that the Beatles had, and identical amps and everything. You know, they just have the look and the sound of the original thing. And I did notice, because I was there at their sound check in the afternoon when they played here last year, I did notice that the guy was mixing the sound by walking around the room with his iPad in the afternoon. He was tuning the sound to the room. Really cool.
For sure.
But they did a song called I Give Her All My Love. It's called And I Love Her, from the Hard Day's Night album. And he had, I noticed that they were playing. Everybody was playing, but there was a little clave's track. You know, you know what clave is? It's two like mahogany hardwood sticks polished, and you hit them together, and it gives you a nice Latin click, 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 click. All right. I noticed nobody was playing the claves, but they were there, and that's and the rest of the guys, I mean, they were playing it. So they must be playing with a track of some kind, but they don't. There are no instruments or vocals on these tracks. Anyway, that's coming up March 10th, and if you haven't seen them, you should. They're having a show price and a show with dinner price. So I'm hoping my friend Dan Collar from Monk's doesn't become my ex-friend today and not call, because I invite, you know, there's some people that every week I say, gee, it would be nice to talk to you about, and we're going to talk about this or that. And call in the show. And they just never do. They have an excuse. It used to be because I was on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was tougher for them to, you know, they're at work and they can't listen, can't talk. But I'm really hoping that my friend Dan Collar calls in before the next 29 minutes. You got 29 minutes, Dan, from Monk's, and we can talk about the Britons a little bit. Anyway, yeah, Facebook, Instagram, what kind of people? And here's another consideration. How do kids in school talk to their friends if they're not on Facebook and Instagram? What do they talk about? I mean, everybody's going, it's like when we were, when I was a kid, everybody'd come to school and they'd say, hey, did you see Leave It to Beaver last night? They had Chad of Chad and Jeremy was on there, or something, you know. But everybody was watching the same programs. You only had three networks, you know. So, I mean, everybody was on the same page about what they watched on television last night or who won the Cubs game, you know, because everybody was tuned into the same things. But nowadays, kids that aren't on Facebook and they don't get back and forth with their friends on Facebook or talk about something they saw on Facebook, you know, how can they avoid appearing not normal to their friends, you know? And they'd be ostracized if they weren't on there somehow, I think. I don't know. Maybe not. Hey, I was going to talk to you a little bit too. I got some jokes, but I wanted to say I wanted to read something to you about podcasting, and I think you should. I don't care who you are. I think you should be on here doing your stories and your podcast on MadisonTalks.com live on Facebook, and we can help you. I mean, I'll produce your first show if you think you can't talk for an hour about anything. I didn't think I could either, but this is Edison Research, the Podcast Consumer 2017. The latest in the annual study of the medium contains all new data on podcast users in America derived from Infinite Dial 2017 study. And the latest from Edison's share of the research, you can get demographics on here. But just the findings of this report include the following. Podcasting continues to rise, with monthly listeners growing from 21 to 24% year over year. And the audience for podcasts continues to be predominantly 18 to 54 and leans slightly male. Did you know this, Mike? The podcast users, that's the podcast listener, remains an affluent, educated consumer and one that is becoming increasingly more likely to gravitate to ad-free or ad-light subscription experiences. And we thought, I remember thinking when I was a kid, or when I was a young adult, and cable became a new thing.
Yep.
And we said, okay, look, we can have better reception and no advertising. Just pay $14 a month for cable and get rid of your rabbit ears and your TV antenna, whatever it is. But that's changed, and now it's $150 a month, and there are plenty of ads in it. So, I mean, anyway, but the essence of podcasting is that you can watch and listen to whatever you want, whenever you want. You can choose what you want to particularly listen to, or if you're exploring something new, or if you want to hear your same old, same old. You can go on a podcast and do it any time of the day. You don't have to, you don't, no longer do you have to tune in at 5 p.m. or 9 p.m. if you're watching TV or something, and you have to be there for that particular episode, you know. Clicking on a podcast to listen to it immediately, either streamed or via progressive download, is the dominant paradigm for listening, through 27% though 27% do subscribe to podcasts. Nobody subscribes to this podcast. We're just hoping for the best every time we do it. So you got podcasting. It might be time for a joke here. You know, I talked on this show quite a lot about dating, online dating. And I just want to say, first of all, that I'm really lucky that they don't show on the dating site how many women have said no to me, because that would be embarrassing. My friend said, you know, you do have a tendency to get dumped a lot. And I said, this is the essence of it. I said, let's just say they often find it necessary to be somewhere else. You know. There you go. All right. I don't know where I found this. I've had it for quite a while, and I'm telling it to you now. Here is a little series of stuff called Lies We Tell Our Kids, okay? We got our daughter to eat fish by calling it Argentinian chicken. Yeah? And here's one I remember my parents saying to me. If the ice cream truck is playing music, it means it has run out of ice cream.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Do you think that's fair for kids? I don't know if it is, but we did. My dad used to tell me that they don't sell replacement batteries for that toy. How's that? You can't get it. Now that it's dead, it's just dead. Our parents used to tell my only brother and me that we used to have another brother who turned into a mushroom from not taking bath and doing his chores, and they even added him to the family albums. That's a little extreme, but it's true. Grocery gripes. This one, I guess, I think this one came from Reader's Digest. Almonds are good for when I want to have a healthy snack and I want to stop having $12. Yeah, huh? Yeah. That's a almonds thing. The only time I'm truly, this isn't a grocery particular thing, but the only time I'm truly paying attention and I'm really present in the moment is when my credit card is in the card reader at Walmart and I'm waiting for it to be approved. You know, then I'm right there watching, you know. Carrots are a great thing to eat when you're hungry and want to stay that way. Mike, you know, he's eaten a lot of carrots. He lost 100 pounds. We used to call our cat Socks. We had two, but we lost one of them in the dryer. How you like that? This is the last one of these, okay? Oh, no, I get two more. Dying is a lot like camping. I don't want to do it. Either one of them. No, I don't want them. Whenever you buy and eat half a chicken, you are secretly sharing a meal with a stranger. All right, I got more jokes, but I guess I'm going to have to tell them, good, bad, or otherwise, because nobody's calling the show as usual. Oh, we go for another break? Thank you. Goodness sakes. I'll organize my jokes here.
Take another bite, chew it up, spit it out, you're just using me. Take me by the hand, build me up, let me down, you're just using me.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
This song was, I wrote this song back in the late 70s, right? And I was signed to a record production company out of Cincinnati who had connections, a lawyer in New York that they shopped material around to, you know. And so this producer that I was signed to helped me with the construction of these songs that I didn't really know much about how they should be constructed, but I had these songs. And this song, that song right there, Coming Out, I wrote that before coming out was an accepted term for gay people coming out of the closet, you know. Yeah. So I'm coming out, my day is here, you know. It just went to crap as soon as that other usage of those words came out. But it was turned down by some of the best people in the business. I was turned down by all the top guys with all my songs. But at the time, the guy at Epic Records brought this to our attention, that Diana Ross had a hit called I'm Coming Up. Do you remember that? I'm coming up. I want the world to know I'm coming up. I'm coming up. And that was the reason he said he didn't think my song would do well, because Coming Up was a hit.
Too close, huh?
Yeah. He might have just been being nice. You know, maybe my song really was crap. But I had two of my best songs. Like, this guy in Cincinnati had just spent a lot of money on recording six songs of mine, you know, with other musicians, and great, the best sounding recordings that I've ever made. And he had this lawyer shopping these tapes around up in New York, and on the best, the desks of all the best people. And in fact, one time it was on the desk at a guy named Bruce Cohn, who was the head guy at Epic Records. Okay, now he was made aware of my association with Robin. In fact, Cheap Trick's picture was on the wall of his office, and he still passed on me. And that kind of took the wind out of my sails for writing songs. How would it affect you, man?
Sounds about the same.
Yeah, I don't know. I should have kept at it, but I figured these are the best songs I'd written, and they were in their best form, and they were in front of the best people in the business, and I got no response. So I said, okay. I don't mean to be sounding too negative about that. I did have some great feedback from top people, and very close to being had my songs used. I was in touch with the Georgette, lady's name was Georgette Studnicka back in 79-80, and she was the head of entertainment for ABC out in Hollywood, and she was very complimentary and almost was going to use some stuff, but didn't happen. Anyway, somebody's on the phone. You have just saved yourself from listening to some of these jokes that I was going to tell. Who's on the phone, man?
Stevie Ray.
What? Stevie Ray Nelson?
Yeah.
Well, how about you, man?
I just come in off the train, and boy, are my arms tired.
Yeah.
No.
No, the plane.
Let me try that again.
It just flew in. No?
You're... Yeah, I just got thrown under the bus, and boy, am I, no.
Oh, boy, yeah. You are back home?
Yeah, I've been up for about 30-some hours. I left Arizona about 1:45 mountain time on a plane to Chicago. Then from Chicago, I flew to La Crosse. And I spent like 5 hours waiting for Amtrak to get me home.
Well, you knew what you were in for, man, when you took off on the road like a teenager.
Teenager?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you were on tour down in Texas.
I was just trying to get back, that's all.
I know, but you were on tour down in Texas.
Yeah.
And Arizona, right?
Yeah. The pain in the butt was just waiting on a train.
Waiting on a train.
Now you got to start writing songs.
I'm just waiting on a train.
No, that's been done.
Oh. You know what? You are trying to be a teenager again, though. I mean, what is it?
Why not?
I know, but...
Well, it's where the work is, and it's fun. It's a good time. There's not a lot of... there's not a lot of road to it. I mean, we were stationed kind of out of one area. We were in McAllen, Texas for almost a month and just playing around the RV parks there. So it's different. So if we're teenagers, then they were too.
You made them feel like teenagers. But, you know, I remember Bunny Carlos of Cheap Trick telling me years ago that they get paid to travel and they play for free. Did you kind of feel like that?
Oh, yeah, it seems like it, because the shows were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was equipment-wise, it was pretty light load. It was just me on acoustic guitar and had the harmonizer thing and Maggie singing and the two of us just doing our thing and a couple little Bose column speakers.
No tracks?
Like there was a great, huh?
No tracks?
No.
No tracks, nope, no drummer, no nothing, huh?
No, nothing. No.
Wow, that's cool.
I got to where my guitar playing solo thing is. I'm learning some stuff. I'm making myself learn how to fill it all out.
Yeah, and making the bass strings sound like bass strings and the treble strings.
Yeah, it's turning into a whole style of its own.
Yeah, lots of finger picking, lots of Chet Atkins.
Yeah, but it's more. It's almost like Leo Kottke and that kind of it's a different style. You can tell that there's some Chet in there, but there's other stuff.
Wasn't Leo Kottke wasn't he the 12 string guy that just went like this as fast as he could? 12 string.
Yeah, I guess so. He played a lot of six.
It wasn't like John McLaughlin, who played a lot of fast notes and stuff. I think Leo Kottke just went.
There was but a lot of these players, you know, they'll take an acoustic guitar and doing the single note stuff, which you got to fill it out.
So, yeah, you do have to. Yeah. Hey, by the way, Steve, I just found out. Bunny Carlos asked me to sing a song with the Monday Night Band one of these nights March.
Well, I'd love to.
Yeah, it's a long drive for you, but it's a long drive for you. But you should come down if I do. What are you a daytime media guy or a nighttime media guy? Do you do it first thing in the morning or when you go to bed before you go to bed or what?
Oh, there are different things that I'll watch throughout the day. It depends on when I get up. If I have a show that like the night before. I'll get up later, but as far as what I watch on TV or radio or whatever.
When do you do your Facebook and your texting and all that stuff?
More so at night.
Yeah.
More so at night because it's quieter and I can have a chance to get my thoughts together and I can kind of proofread what I'm going to say so I'm saying the right thing and not mm-hmm. you know.
Does it have anything to do with the drinking?
What drinking?
Any drinking. I mean, do you feel freer with your texts and your posts and stuff if you've had a few drinks? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I haven't.
For me, I've found that the scotch, you know, because I've been drinking quite a bit of scotch lately, and I found that scotch slows the aging process. I mean that might not be true, but can I take the chance? I take the chance?
Well,
no, I don't think I can.
No. Go on ahead. Go on ahead.
Yeah.
I've got the permission from the doctor for the red wine. So
okay, and then good.
So they'll, you know, antioxidants and okay. Hey, I can justify this.
Hey, I got it. You want to hear a bartender joke that I used to tell a lot, and I stopped, and maybe for good reason. But a guy walks into the bar and he walks up to the bartender and he says, "Hey, jackass, get me a drink." And bartender brings him over a drink, and he finishes it. And a little while later, he's, "Hey, jackass, get me a drink." Bartender brings him one over, and he finishes it. "Hey, Jack," and there's another guy sitting at the bar, and he calls the bartender over. He says, "Why in the world do you let that guy talk to you that way?" And the bartender says, "Oh, he always called me that." he always called me that.
Well,
no, what do you mean?
Oh,
you're groaning, and that's actually a pretty funny story.
Well, like Craig Ferguson when he had his late night talk show. Don't you ooh me?
what happened?
He had such a way with the crowd and the Scottish accent was like, "Don't you ooh me?"
What happened to his show? I mean, that was a hit show, wasn't it? Going good,
and now he decided to go out on top. And he didn't move on to some other stuff?
Huh. Well, you know, he's still in it, but he's not a kind of where he was, is he? He was funny too. He was all energy, man. James Corden, and who are we just talking about? What's his name? Ferguson.
Craig Ferguson. Yeah.
The British comics have a tendency to think it's funnier if they holler. You know, James Corden's show. He hollers the whole time on his show, and that's one of the things I didn't like about it at first is you had to listen at this volume all the way through the show. But I've learned that James is pretty funny, and he's got some pretty good hooks to his show. The riding in the cars. What's that car karaoke or something he does with the famous people?
Oh yeah,
that's pretty funny stuff, and he is funny, but. The first thing I noticed about him was he hollers at everything. Everything he says is hollering. Even when he's interviewing somebody, he's hollering.
Yeah. It reminds me of on a day off of over this last week. Our last week and a half was spent in Arizona, and no, it wasn't that warm out there. So yeah, it wasn't that great. But anyway, we had a night off.
I may leave you with this one, but
we did go to a comedy club in Tucson.
Cool.
While we were down there, and Arizona comics are rather funny. They're very, very funny, but it was a dry humor.
I get it right there. Are you leaving me now?
I'm going to leave you now because I'm tired.
All right. Well, I'm going to hang up. I'm going to tell you a couple of really lame jokes on the way out. My computer recently beat me at chess, so I challenged it to a bout of kickboxing. I don't think he can win that one. I told you, hey Jack, what about the guy goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Haven't seen you for a while," and the guy says, "Yeah, I've been sick." How do you like that? My doctor referred me to a specialist and a urologist, and when I got there, I noticed this woman. She was young, she was beautiful, and this is a little bit of a naughty joke. And if you don't want to hear a naughty one, turn down your radio at the moment. But I go and see this woman. And she's just knocked down dead gorgeous, you know. And she tells me right off the bat, she says, you're going to have to, it's your urologist. And she says, you're going to have to stop masturbating. And I said, gee, doc, why? She says, because I'm trying to examine you. How's that? I told you it was naughty. Old couple. We're coming down the home stretch here. This older couple, he goes to the mailbox and he finds a box. And he says, oh boy, he says to her, my Olympic condoms have arrived in the mail. He says, I think I'll try the gold condoms, the Olympic condoms. I think I'll try the gold this evening. And his wife says, deadpan, she says, why don't you try the silver and come second for a change? Mike thought it was funny. I'm second for a change. Never mind. All right, that's it. That's all I got. I could tell you. Oh, okay, I'll get a little teaser about the Irish jokes that are coming up next week and the week after. We'll tell some St. Paddy's Day jokes. There was a big bank robbery in Dublin, in Ireland, and these guys in masks came rushing into this bank, and they held the place up. They said, everybody up against the wall. And one of them goes over to the teller with his bag, wants him to fill up the bag with money. And suddenly he notices that this teller looked up. He was a brave teller. He grabbed the guy's mask that was covering his face. He pulled it up, and he saw his face. So the robber kills this teller right there. He kills him. And the guy next to him, the teller, can see his face too. So he kills him. And the robber, everybody else, he said, look down at your shoes. So he turns around and he says to everybody, if there's anybody else here that saw my face, speak up right now. And there was this little tidy-looking Irish man in a suit, very small, an older guy, and he walks forward a step and he says, I think me wife might have got a peek. Yeah. Is that it, man? All right, we're out. Thanks again to Sorrento's at the Wilderness and Monk's Bar and Grill all over the state. We'll see you again next Friday, 5 o'clock. Be good.